We are down to the final seconds here, folks. And boy, has this one been one for the record books. The Northeast Razorcats have battled back from a 23-point deficit and have pulled within one. And to get the first look at this exciting conclusion, we go down with our own Marcus Spinks to get a closer look at the action. Marcus?
Thanks, Jim. I'm down here with Razorcat point guard Billy Harmon, about to make one of the most important plays of his young career. Billy, what's going through your mind right now?
Get off the court!
Billy, care to respond to those who say you can't come through in high-pressure situations like this?
What? Who's been saying that?
More like who hasn't been saying it. Everyone is expecting you to choke, Billy.
What? I'm not...
You caught it here first, folks. Billy has tripped over some kind of cord.
It was... You're my cord, you asshole!
It's always sad to see an otherwise great player unable to evolve with the modern basketball landscape. Looks like the South Joffrey High Lions have taken control of the game once more. But Billy Harmon's not going down without a fight. Let's follow the action as it moves down the court. Billy! Billy! Do you think you'll be able to catch them?
Leave me alone!
Have you considered that maybe if you had passed the ball, you wouldn't be in this situation? Billy Harmon makes the steal! But will it be enough to silence his ever-increasing herd of critics?
Shut up!
He's literally screaming at his critics to be quiet!
I'm talking to you!
Billy, you only have 20 seconds left to make the most important shot of your young career. Can you spare a moment to let the fans in on your strategy?
No! Get out of my way!
Billy's continued heavy breathing has to be making the fans wonder if the rumors of his lack of conditioning are true.
I'm not out of shape!
Is it denial or yet another classic case of athletic hubris in an aging former star?
I'm not aging! Just get out of my way!
He seems to have stalled at center court.
I need to shoot this ball!
It's as if there is an unseen obstacle he can't get around.
Please! This could help me get a scholarship!
He's completely broken down! If only he would pass the ball!
That actually makes a lot of sense right now.
A miracle happens! Billy has passed the ball! The star has finally decided to take the needs of his team above his own. Tim Spinks, beloved son of local announcing legend Marcus Spinks, takes what could be the game-winning shot and...
No!
Tragedy for the Razorcats. A truly crushing story of what could have been a great underdog story of our time. Perhaps, if only their point guard had the focus, conditioning, or confidence, we could have had a different ending. Billy, do you have a moment to cry incoherently into the microphone for us?
I just wanted it so bad.
Try not to breathe so heavy, kid. It pops the mic.
You do a lot of heavy breathing.
I am obese, yes. I need to get control of that.
Okay, so we have our format. Eventually, during our conversation, one of us will stop. Is that the plan? And say, yeah. All right, thanks for listening. If you're, the show is Unstoppable
Failure.
The show
is Unstoppable Failure.
I'm AJ Schrader.
And I'm Eldon Schrader.
And you're going to listen to us talk for a little while.
You will listen to
us talk. You've heard a sketch already. The sketch is inspired by the conversation that we've been having. We don't know what the sketch is right now. That's recorded after what we're doing.
That's recorded, after we've received inspiration.
From ourselves.
From ourselves.
The only place we could really draw from.
Because the world is so tiny. And our minds are so huge.
Just so huge.
That's pretty much how the universe works. Sweet. It's all encapsulated in the individual. But it is.
In the core of it. It's the core of it.
In
a
philosophical sense.
Yeah, I guess we'll just try to feel that.
Feel it when we got to take our break?
When we take our break and say our intro?
I'm going to be honest with you. I thought we just did that. I thought that that was us doing that in sort of a meta.
Oh, like we, this whole conversation had been recorded?
Yeah, like the whole
conversation
had been, and then we stopped.
Well, I think that requires the whole conversation to be recorded.
Oh, we haven't been recording
I've been
of
recording
this?
It all. I was,
I thought so.
Yeah, but that was just to get us loose. So I figured, I thought we were going to, like, choose a topic, and then...
Yeah, and maybe,
start
I
with,
could
start with
learn
the topic.
How to control my breath a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. No, it's... That's some good breath
now
control.
I'm conscious about it is the problem.
Well,
like that was
be.
That was pseudo on purpose, but it was also pseudo couldn't help it, had to do it.
We're gonna hear that a lot, aren't we? I think the beer really helps.
The beer's definitely not a good idea.
It cuts the acidity.
It's a little gassy.
No, I've heard that you're supposed to take like an apple slice actually, and that'll there's something about the acidic nature that like balances out the base of the saliva so that you're less like
saliva is what has to do with the
a little bit with the the like smackiness of a general talk and the way it allows you to enunciate
I think
clearly.
I always thought I could go places if my voice sounded more like a normal person's.
Yeah, no, if my voice was good I could do voice work, like if I had one of those voices.
One of those voices.
So we've been recording for a while now. I don't know if we should just...
I don't think that there's anything here that we can use.
Yeah, there's not anything useful. So I feel we should start over.
Okay.
We're going to start over.
Do a mind wipe. This is us wiping our minds right now.
Taking the pros and cons of their
of Whole Foods and
Food Bar Eggs
versus Harris Teeter on their Food Bar Eggs. It's something I'm very passionate about.
Who is the winner?
Because I like a good massive plate of eggs.
Oh, yeah.
I have to give it to Harris Teeter.
Really?
Yeah, in every other category on their Food Bar, I think I'd give it to Whole Foods.
Mm-hmm.
But their eggs at Whole Foods, their breakfast just is more expensive for one.
Yeah.
And their eggs, I think, are... sort of more plain. Probably they don't have like sugar or something in them. I don't know.
Harris Teeter, I know
Harris Teeter eggs are very runny, kind of very like
really?
Goopy. Like it's just like a great cafeteria style.
See, that's, I think they've improved upon them then. Cause like, in what time of day did you go?
Probably around 10 o'clock.
Okay.
9:30, 10 o'clock.
The thing is, I think Whole Foods, like their whole system works better.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get the same quality throughout the day.
Yeah.
But Harris Teeter, like, I've gone at noon, like, right when they're, you know, kind of when they're about to switch
it down.
And it's obvious they have not cared for their eggs, like, in a bit, like, because they dry out under those heat lamps. Because I like a sloppy egg if I'm getting it at a bar.
Yeah, and the prices is about half the cost. Like, I feel like their Harris Teeter breakfast costs less than their lunch and dinner. Whole Foods, I feel like it's the opposite.
Oh, really?
And it's probably just based upon the weight of the food that I get. At Whole Foods, probably those big, like, firm eggs that they have.
Yeah, it's going to
weigh
be
more. So I ended up paying
those
more for breakfast.
All those bar things, it's all about getting the light foods.
Well, yeah.
Like, just the foods that, like, if you shouldn't put a scoop of rice on there, even though you want it.
Yeah.
Because that'll just weigh down your plate, and rice is so cheap to begin with, it is not a good money to food. Like, you're not getting the
That's
deal
good point.
There.
And the thing about tofu is a pretty good deal, though.
It is.
Tofu is a very light food.
And that is filling.
Yeah, that's filling. And you can get for on the cheap.
Yeah.
Kale is good.
Kale's good.
Which I've gotten into.
you're a kale fan now?
Since the Whole Foods opened up. The Whole Foods made us all, I think, maybe 5 degrees fancier.
It did. It made us more of a real city here in Greensboro.
Yeah, I'm not sure how what the fanciness scale is.
But 5 degrees on whatever.
Probably 100 points. I'm thinking 100 points like Robert Parker wine, the wine scale. The
Yeah, no, it's okay. 98. Just knock that micro.
Yeah. Well, I started to get fancy and
you got some hand gestures in there.
I got a little
douchey
in my head.
No, but I think 100 point scale, like, which makes 5 degrees reasonable. Because, you know, if it were a 10 point scale, that would have doubled our fanciness.
No, that's not happening here in Greensboro. Not until I'm wearing, like, not until we get a top hat shop.
God, I do want to have a dashery.
Yeah.
I could just talk about haberdasheries for a long time. I've been, there's been a couple of times where I thought I saw Haberdashery in Greensboro, and then it wasn't, and I was pretty disappointed.
Was the first time I heard the word haberdashery, I think, had to do with the Phantom Toll Booth. And I'm not positive about that, because I'm not sure if the haberdasher is all involved in the Phantom Toll Booth.
I'm not sure if they are. It's been a while since I've read the Phantom Toll Booth.
That's good podcasting.
Right it
there. Is. A dodecahedron.
As many words as you cannot pronounce on a podcast. It's pretty essential.
Well, you know, I got a big old vocabulary basket I like to. Dictionary.com. Word of the day.
Is dodecahedron?
No, I'm just saying in general.
Is there a dodecahedron something that exists in the Phantom? Like to... Okay.
No. The duodecahedron is in the Phantom Toll Booth. I'm pretty sure.
The duodecahedron?
Unless that's the 12-sided die.
Yeah.
Dodecahedron. Is in the it's either in the Phantom Toll Booth or a different play that has nothing to do with the Phantom Toll Booth.
I didn't even know Phantom Toll Booth, they made a play.
I think you're probably correct they didn't. I thought Phantom Toll Booth was a play, so obviously I am way off base.
It's mainly known as like a classic young adults book.
That was written in a play format.
No, not at all. It's a novel. There's it's got the watchdog, the dog with the like giant
watch. What the heck am I thinking it's about right now?
I don't
like
it's The Phantom Toll Booth is a classic children's work. It's very pun heavy.
Yeah, maybe it's
so like they have the mathematician
Balderdash. Is that a
that's a
character?
Game? Oh, maybe. I said I haven't read Phantom Toll Booth in a while, but I've never seen it as a play. So
I feel like I've thrown enough like facts about the Phantom Toll Booth out there that I'm going to win.
You were laying it
I'm
down.
I'm going to win this conversation because I have more just general facts. I think some of them are true about the Phantom Toll Booth.
I will look some of them up.
Balderdash, Haberdasher. I'm pretty sure not both would exist in the same story. That I'm probably confusing Haberdasher with Balderdash.
The Phantom Toll Booth, it would use a lot of different fun words.
Yeah.
So they could both be
there.
They
could both be in there.
Yeah, because it's about words and math, and like the core of the story is kind of like against over-specialization.
Well, when was it written? Is this a 20th century or a...
Yeah, I believe it's probably like in 70s.
Oh, okay. So that's a lot more recent than I was thinking.
Oh, it could be older. I don't have a...
Well, I know it's not. It's definitely not as old as... Wonderland as
no it's definitely post, like it's definitely
yeah
influenced like
by
Carol and all that, which would haberdashery and balderdash seem like if you're influenced by that their words
there was
in.
A mad haberdasher in Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that work. Not a lot of people are, but I believe he is referred to as
as the Mad Haberdasher.
The Mad Haberdasher.
I'm pretty sure they called him the Hatter, Al.
But they are synonyms.
They are.
Which I believe was a character in the Phantom Toll Booth, Cinnamon. Cinnamon Joe.
We're going to take a break.
This is Unstoppable Failure.
Unstoppable Failure, in association with Kellogg's Breakfast Cereals, presents The Cat and the Haberdashery, a prequel by T.S. Eliot, starring Scar from The Lion King as the Cat in the Hat.
Be prepared.
With me, Top Cat, as the Haberdasher, but you can call me T.C. if it's with dignity. Kellogg's, wake up and put something in your face. All up in your face. Scar, that's you.
Oh. And you'll never go hungry again!
Maybe you won't, Scar, but you're still getting those fat Disney residuals. The last time TC ate was back with Hanna-Barbera from the trash can behind the studio. I lived off prop picnic baskets from Yogi Bear and a few strips of kale from the Jetsons. Their cars ran on kale. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. That's remarkable.
It was the future, but they don't want people to know. Because they'd buy up all the kale. We wouldn't have any to eat.
That makes complete sense. I thought you were in the Aristocats, though, weren't you?
Sure I was. Spread that rumor.
Wait. Were you? Who
yes.
are you?
No, I... That's me.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Because I was promised I'd be working with professionals on this production.
You are. In fact, I was a pro from 1992 to 97 until I contracted feline leukemia.
That's highly contagious.
That's a vicious rumor. Just say your lines, Diva, and let's get this show on the road.
I shall deliver a performance to boil the blood and rattle the bone.
The day was not sunny. It was not sunny at all. But TC and the gang and the haberdashers were having a ball. I say a hat, scat, scattity hat. A high hat, low cat, low hat, fat cat, flat hat, fat scat, hat, a hattity hat, a fattity scat, a scattity battity 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 battity
battity. Excuse me, Hatter!
In walked a buyer with a scar on his face and a purse in his paw.
I don't carry a purse.
Okay then, a case. What can I help you with, sir?
Hear me, good Hatter and Mark.
Haberdasher.
What?
I'm a haberdasher. This is a haberdashery. You want a hat shop? It's down the road.
There's a difference?
Class.
Balderdash! Listen here, you cacophonous cretin. I was king once, and I shall be king again.
All of our customers are kings, sir.
Oh, thank you.
You just need the right crown. Hey, what can I get you?
Well, I require a hat to put on the Ritz, but it's got to be solid to stand up to my tricks.
Tricks?
Yes, I have many good tricks for a day that's not sunny. Tricks that are fun, and tricks that are funny.
I knew a lot of good tricks too, between 92 and 97. Might I suggest Dribbly, my personal fave?
No, I mean tricks for a day when it's rainy.
Sure. Just make sure they're cool with a tranny, or you'll both be surprised.
I need a hat that can balance a fish on a stick, a cake on a rake, and a ship on a dish.
Sounds like you need a 10-gallon.
I'm not from Brokeback Mountain.
Where are you from?
Pride Rock.
Oh, Mitt Comet here, right? Am I right? But I guess it's more of a quick draw McGaw kind of look. How about the bowler? Its geodesic shape provides all the strength of a really strong egg.
The strength of an egg?
An ostrich egg.
Oh, well, I eat ostrich eggs each morning.
You do not.
I do, too. I order an elephant to step on them for me. I need something that can withstand a stampede of antelopes.
That's an unusual criteria.
It's not that unusual. People die in antelope stampedes. It happens. It happens all the time.
How about the pork pie? It's already got that smush look, so there's nothing those antelopes can do to it. Plus, it's flat, so it's easier to balance random monosyllabic objects on them.
I don't know. There's not a lot of room in here for my mane.
You mean that tar-covered, flea-ridden boa thing you got wrapped around your head? That's attached to your face?
How dare you!
I assumed that was a mass of merkin wool you were trying to fleece Baba Black Sheep into buying.
You disgusting...
The cat gave a roar and tore through the store. He threw down the hat, threw them down to the floor. The Fedora, the Busby, the Panama and Fez fell to his feet. But the top hat flew up to his head. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh my. This is fetching.
Said the cat, catching his reflection in the door. He paid for the hat. That'll be $300.
$300 for a hat?
This is a quality haberdasher, sir.
Very well.
And then he exited, to be heard from nevermore. Until the sequels. And that was how Dr. Seuss's The Cat in the Hat got his hat.
Wait, Dr. Seuss? I was told this was a piece by T.S. Eliot.
Sure it is.
I demand to speak to my agent. Tony, where is Tony? Tony!
Scott! Baby! What's the problem?
Tony, the only reason I agreed to participate in this fiasco was because I admire the work of T.S. Eliot. And now I hear this is the work of some Dr. Suez person.
Great!
No, Tony, it is not great. I want to be associated with T.S. Eliot, author of The Once and Future King.
That was T.H. White.
Damn it!
And speaking of White, you should both make sure to go to a doctor and get your white blood cells checked. No reason. Just Solid advice. Yep. That's our story, folks. And remember to eat Kellogg's breakfast cereal. Because you gotta eat something, don't you? Why not, kid?
Okay.
We're back.
We are back. We are back in action.
Thank God.
Yeah, no, that break was...
It was excruciating.
It was. I did a little writing during our downtime.
While I'm not being recorded, I have no reason to live. When I'm not spreading this gold.
No, I mean,
amongst
for,
the village people.
For the audience, it's pretty much a Schrodinger's cat situation, where if we're not talking, we could be dead or alive, and it's just kind of a flip of the coin.
It's interesting that you say cats, because I was thinking during the break that I want to talk about the musical Cats.
That is... Okay.
Okay.
Bring it on to me, Al.
Now, that was based upon a group of poems written by... Can you finish my sentence?
Written by William Blake.
No.
Tiger, Tiger, Bernie,
William...
Bright.
The reason I ask is that I can't finish the sentence.
Oh.
And I was hoping you
that,
knew.
That I would lay it down.
That you would remember the...
I'd just pull out my poetry dick. Brukowski.
Yeah. No. Brukowski. Brukowski. I believe he was a character in the Aristocats, correct?
Brukowski.
He was smoking heavily and I think shooting some heroin.
Yeah, no,
down
was,
by the trash-filled docks in the Aristocats. Deleted scene.
Yeah, no, it's important.
He was hanging out with Baloo the bear.
Who
you
they
could
were just
tell,
swinging.
You could tell Baloo. I mean, he was a mature man. I mean, you know, he's an adult who can make his own choices. But yeah, he probably spent some time in some heroin dens.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, a den, in general, as a bear, is just
yes.
like, yeah, well, this is
yeah.
fun. It's dark.
Yeah, and if you get a brave little girl who wanders into those dens, you get yourself a heroin den. Take that, Phantom
Take that. Take that, pun machine.
That's how you pun.
All right. Well, I think what Aldon learned today... is that you don't have to accurately remember your childhood if you can just make up facts.
I don't think it was T.S. Lewis, but it might have been.
T.S. Lewis would sound reasonable.
Okay, we're going to say it was T.S.
Lewis.
T.S. Lewis
wrote Cats?
Well, no, not wrote the books, the poems.
The poems that inspired Cats.
Yeah, that was
so.
Like, you know, like Billy McGee's Cats that he hung out with.
Billy McGee's
It was,
cats.
I mean, it was... That's the Victorian translation. That's the translation into modern day. It had some sort of proper prim, like...
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah, like, the Munificent Guide to Feline. It's nothing like this. Practical House Cats, I think, might have been what it's called.
That sounds like a Wiccan book.
I think AJ's learned a lot about literature today. I think he's learned about Synonym Joe... who was arguably the most important character in the Phantom Tollbooth. He's not necessarily the protagonist, but the motifs, the metaphors, the whole figurative framework of that work depends upon that character. And I think once he rereads that, he will really see what I'm talking about.
I will reread it.
Please don't.
This is Unstoppable Failure. Bye.
We apologize to T.S. Eliot and C.S. Lewis for the merger of their names. Yay!